Parshas Tetzaveh is entirely unique in the Torah, at least from the time Moshe Rabbeinu emerges onto the scene until the end of the Torah. What makes Parshas Tetzaveh unique from the time Moshe Rabbeinu emerges onto the scene until the end of the Torah? It's the only one that doesn't mention Moshe Rabbeinu, right? It enjoys that distinction of being the only Parsha since Moshe Rabbeinu comes on the scene that doesn't mention Moshe Rabbeinu at all. And the Zohar, quoted by the Balaturim, comments that this was the fulfillment of Moshe Rabbeinu's request. Moshe Rabbeinu asked not to be mentioned because he said, "Imayin mechenina misifrecha asher kasavta." Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Erase me, if you're not going to forgive the Jewish people, erase me from the Sefer that you have written." And of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did forgive the Jewish people, and therefore there's no reason for Moshe Rabbeinu to be erased. Bakilu aschachem afilu al tanai is mekuyam. When Chacham gives a klala, it's mekuyam in some way or another, and therefore this was mekuyam that he is not mentioned in Parshas Tetzaveh. Okay, that's great, that's fine. I understand all that. To the extent that anyone understands it, I guess, but you know that Moshe Rabbeinu is eliminated from one parsha in the Torah because he had said that he should be eliminated from the Torah. But of all parshios to choose to eliminate Moshe Rabbeinu, why Parshas Tetzaveh? Meaning, Parshas Tetzaveh is a pretty you can't say any parsha in the Torah is like nondescript, but it's certainly not Malei Chidushim, considering that the whole thing's going to be repeated in 2 weeks anyway, 3 weeks anyway, right? So what exactly is it about Parshas Tetzaveh that's the one that Moshe Rabbeinu is erased from? So some say, well, we now that we have our cycle of Kriyas HaTorah, where it's once a year that we lay from the Torah, so it always comes out around Zayin Adar. So it always comes out around his yard site, so that's why. Around his yard site, that's when we forget Moshe Rabbeinu, that's when we sort of leave him out of the Parsha. Yeah, but they didn't always read the Torah on an annual cycle, and you know, it's hard to accept that would be the reason that was set up for all time. So that's question number one. Of all the Parshas to erase Moshe Rabbeinu from, why Parshas Tetzaveh? Second question, the Parshas that we're reading now are about a very special place, a very special makom, the Mishkan. And the Mishkan represents to us, prior to entering Eretz Yisrael, the only notion that we have of Kedushas HaMakom. Because without Eretz Yisrael, meaning there's Kedushas HaMakom in Eretz Yisrael, and there are Eser Kedushas, and Yerushalayim is a higher level of Kedusha, and the Harabais is a higher level of Kedusha, v'chule, but outside of Eretz Yisrael, Kedushas HaMakom reflects itself purely in the Mishkan. And even when we're in Eretz Yisrael, the Beis HaMikdash is the height of Kedusha. Now, Kedushas HaMakom is a very important concept in Yiddishkeit, that we believe we have in our Mikdash Ma'at, there's also a certain Kedusha, and therefore there are certain behaviors that that are not appropriate to do. For example, it's been pointed out recently, a person can go out on a date, and that's a wonderful thing to do, and that's a great way to meet a wife. But you wouldn't do that in the Beis Medrash, right? So there are certain things. Kedushas HaMakom has its role. Now, the term makom itself is so important in Yiddishkeit that we sometimes even refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself as HaMakom, right? But in what context? So there are three occasions where we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as HaMakom. On Yom Kippur, Al Das HaMakom V'Al Das HaKal, right? On Pesach, Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shana Santara Lamashel, Baruch Hu. And in the Beis Avel, HaMakom Yinachem Eschem. Right, those are the three places in Yiddishkeit where we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically as HaMakom. What is the link between those three circumstances? Yom Kippur, Pesach, Beis Avel. Why is it, meaning of all the Shemos of Hashem to use, that in those three contexts, HaMakom is the name of choice?
Isn't there also like Monday and Thursday, HaMakom Yirachim?
Okay, good. Now, while we hope for Mashiach every single day, and we even count it amongst the Yikari Amunah, meaning someone who's not Mechatel B'chol Yom Sheyavo is not just that, you know, he's not feeling his Yiddishkeit to the max, it's apikorsis, right? Meaning it's one of the Yikari Amunah. So we teach our children to sing about Lashon HaBa B'Yerushalayim, but there are two places that we actually include the Shana Abba B'Yerushalayim as part of our liturgy, as part of like what we say, right? On the Pesach Seder, and at the conclusion of Ni'il and Yom Kippur. So again, Pesach and Yom Kippur, not only do they have HaMakom in common, they have the Shana Abba B'Yerushalayim in common. What's going on over here? So Rav Soloveitchik explained that these two occasions are chosen for the Shana Abba B'Yerushalayim Because these are the two events that are celebrated today in a way that is most glaringly empty and lacking of their initial meaning and the initial experience that they used to have. You know, when we celebrate Shavuos nowadays, or we celebrate Sukkot nowadays, or we celebrate Rosh Hashanah nowadays, we're essentially having the same experience, minus the Aliyah L'Regel and Shavuos, but essentially the same experience. It's essentially the same holiday. Same experience we would have had when we had a Beis HaMikdash. We still celebrate Sukkot with a Sukkah, and with Dalet Minim, and those are like the key characteristics of the days of Sukkot. And, you know, Shavuos is what it means. It doesn't have any special mitzvah yom, but it's with an appreciation of Torah and whatever. When it comes to Yom Kippur and Pesach, they are celebrated in a completely different way, almost to the point where they're stripped down of all of their meaning and all, or much of their meaning and much of the experiential feel that they had. The centerpiece and focal point of Yom HaKippurim, the most important element of Yom HaKippurim, is the Avodas Kohen Gadol in Yom HaKippurim. We don't have it. What's the Avoda for us today? It's that part of Musaf where everyone just, you know, and they turn a lot of pages really quickly. It's like, oh yeah, keep turning pages in art school, right? So that's what it's become. That's what Avodas Yom HaKippurim. It used to be the Kohen Gadol going Lefnai V'Lefnim, the giant celebration. Mara Kohen was something that you actually saw, and you didn't just sing because it was a catchy tune. It was actually something that was inspiring to see the Mara of the Kohen as he emerged from the Avoda. And now there's no remnant of the Avoda, which is the Ikur Mechaper of the day. It's what it was all about. So as an acknowledgement of how Yom HaKippurim is only a shell of what it once was and what it one day will be, it's very important to point that out, not just once was, this isn't a history, what it one day will be. I've mentioned in the past, I was once taking a tour when my oldest son became Bar Mitzvah, we went to Eretz Yisrael, he joined me on the trip to Eretz Yisrael, the yeshiva had sent me, DRS had sent me to Eretz Yisrael, and he came along with me, and we took a tour of the old city. I had a few hours off, we took a tour of the old city, and the tour guide points to the Harabayas, and he says, you know what that place is? And my son said, that's the place where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be. And he said, finally, someone got it right. Everyone always says it's the place where the Beis HaMikdash used to be. Yeah, that's true, but much more importantly, it's the place where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be. So certainly we look forward, L'shana Haba, B'Yerushalayim. At the end of Yom HaKippurim, we say, yeah, we haven't had an Avodas Yom HaKippurim this year, and therefore Yom Kippur was empty this year. Oh, but next year, L'shana Haba, B'Yerushalayim. And the Torah describes Pesach. Also, Pesach is we call what we call Pesach is Chag HaMatzos. The 7-day holiday is actually not called Pesach. What is actual Pesach? When the Torah calls Pesach, what is Pesach? It's the Korban Pesach, right? The in reality, it's a korban that served as the central focus of that Erev Yom Tov and of that night. Our entire day on Erev Pesach used to be consumed by the incredible experience of bringing our korbanos together with millions of other Jews. The Mishnah Pesachim describes how Kohanim on Erev Pesach were walking around the Beis HaMikdash knee deep in blood, and just can you imagine the nowadays the chaos of leading up to Pesach, it pretty much stops at Erev Pesach. That's when the chaos is over because the cleaning has to be done, the Isur Chametz already is chal, you can't eat anything, can't do anything, like it's so pretty much that's when the chaos stops. That's when it really got crazy when we had a Beis HaMikdash. That's when it got Lebedik, right? That's when everyone was going to Harabayis to Shechta Korban Pesach, and then they had these sticks where they had to schlep it back home and they would eat it and dafka on the ground floor and not in the ceiling, and they'd go up to the ceiling to do the Hallel, and right? You have all these descriptions. It was a wild experience. So we conclude the Pesach celebration at the Seder, and we consume our Korban Pesach. That's what we used to do when we used to consume our Korban Pesach. We ate matzah marar. Al matzah marar yochlu hu. Matzah marar are supposed to be eaten with it. What's the it? What's the it? The it is the Korban Pesach. It was the ikur. Nowadays, without a Korban Pesach, we're left with this tremendous void. So we recognize that void and we acknowledge at the end of the Seder and we declare and we daven l'shana haba b'Yerushalayim that our Pesach next year shouldn't be empty. So maybe that's the common denominator between the places where we mention Hamakom as well. Hamakom means the space. What's space? Space is a void. It's something that nothing is taking up right now, that there's nothing there right now. On Pesach nowadays, we're missing Korban Pesach. On Yom HaKippurim, we're missing the Avodas Kohen Gadol. We're acknowledging that there's a void. How do we acknowledge that there's a void? We refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Hamakom. And of course, it therefore makes so much sense. In a base Avel, what do you feel more than anything else? A void. That there's someone missing. That there's someone we're used to having around who's now no longer around. So you refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Hamakom. Just when we notice such a void, we describe Hashem as Hamakom to reassure ourselves that no matter what void there is, as long as there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can always fill any void. Meaning there's no one that's indispensable. There's no one that makes it that you can't go on. As Moriv Rabbi Rav Shechta, I think I mentioned this yesterday, Moriv Rabbi Rav Shechta likes to say, people, you know, they get so full of themselves. They think that, I can't make Aliyah, because if I make Aliyah, then the whole American Jewish community is going to fall apart if I make Aliyah. He said, believe it or not, a lot of people thought that they were indispensable. Other people thought that they were indispensable. No one's so indispensable. The cemetery is full of indispensable people, right? There are lots of people that we thought the world can't go on. Yeah. So we recognize if there's a void, Hamakom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills any void. So it's not just that we're comforted by knowing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence when there's an obvious void. In reality, there's something much deeper here. And pay attention to this yesod. I think it's such a chashuva nekuda. I'm not really sure how musri it is or anything, but I think it's just like, I think it's emes. I think it's just like a very chashuva nekuda. That when we find that there's something missing, very often, ironically, that which is missing is more present than it was when it was there. What? What does that mean? Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned in the entire Parshas Tetzaveh, right? He's missing from Parshas Tetzaveh. First word of the Parsha?
Yata.
Who's Atta?
Moshe.
When do you call somebody by name and when do you say Atta? Atta is when he's right there in front of you. Right? You, me, that's when we're right there together. You would call him by name, third person, when he's not there. He doesn't appear in Parshas Tetzaveh, right? No, to the contrary. The very first word of Parshas Tetzaveh speaks of Moshe Rabbeinu. You talk about a person who isn't present, you speak about them in third person. Vayomer Moshe el Aaron. You talk about me behind my back, that's when you mention my name. You know when my name doesn't get mentioned? When you talk straight to my face, when I'm participating in the conversation. You talk to somebody, you switch from third person to second person. So ironically, the parsha that Moshe Rabbeinu does not appear in is the very parsha that Moshe is directly referenced. And that serves as the model for so many of the other voids that we have in life. Think about it. When a person, Rachman al-Islam, sits Shiva, the deceased person is that void, right? Leaves that great void. Is there ever a time that they are more present? They are more focused on? They are more appreciated than during the Shiva? You know, I was at a Shiva house this morning. That's why I came a little late to Yeshiva. The person was getting up from Shiva. And the guy said, right before he got up, he said, we should start sitting Shiva for people while they're alive. Meaning, he said, my mom would have so appreciated all these sentiments that people are saying about her. She would have so appreciated to hear the kid that she helped 20 years ago, who's now in yeshiva and thriving and doing well, and you know, and she helped him out, how much he appreciated that. She would have so appreciated it. Because during Shiva, when there is a void, that's when the person is more present than ever. You know, if you think about it, you spend all day speaking about the person. And all night, if you ever spoke to someone who sat Shiva, all night thinking about the person, because people don't sleep during Shiva. They can't. That when the void is greatest, that's when the presence is there the most. And I would say even further. You know, when a person, let's say this fellow that I was at this morning, I told him this morning, when you were talking to your mom, when your mom was here and you were talking to her, so she was her and you were you. Right? So she played the role of your mom and you played the role of you. Now that she's not there, you are kind of both you and her. Meaning everything you do is a reflection of her. Kamuvaneha vaya ashruha. people are able to look at the child and say, see what the parent wants. So there's like, in the absence, there's almost a greater presence. In the Megillah, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is never mentioned. What's the Megillah about? In a nutshell, it's the story of Hashem. It's the story of Hashem saving the Jewish people. Hashem's name is never mentioned. He is the story of the Megillah. In fact, I was thinking, maybe that's the idea of dressing up on Purim. Right? We dress up on Purim, we're hiding. You can't see us. Let me ask you something. If I'm walking down the street like this, dressed in a white shirt and tie and whatever, you know, I walk down the street, you may or may not notice me. But the second I put on a blue wig and a clown suit, and I walk down the street, all of a sudden everyone notices me. So I'm hiding, but dafka when I'm hiding, I am most recognizable, I'm most noticed. We're never more present than we are when we are hidden. When Hashem removes his Shechina from the Beis HaMikdash, we no longer have a place we can point to and say, Hashem is there. But it's dafka at times like that, that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, that we say, Shechinta begalusa. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ever closer to us in the galus. We're so close we can't see him. You know, when you're standing on a balcony overlooking the beach, you can see the beauty and the majesty of the ocean. You know who can't see the ocean? Or the beauty of it? A person who's in it. When you're in the ocean, you don't really get to appreciate it. When we had a Beis HaMikdash, we could see it in all of its glory. Now that it's not there, Hashem's Shechina is with us in a way that it's so close that we're not able to even see him clearly. It's similar to the Medrash referring to the child who can't find his father, right? Because he's being carried on his father's shoulders. If he were just a few feet away from his father, he would see him. Sometimes, when something seems to be missing, it's really as close as it ever can be. In that light, maybe we can answer the question we started with. We already answered the second question, right? But the first question we started with, of all places to leave out Moshe Rabbeinu, why Parshas Tetzaveh? Maybe we dafka leave out Moshe Rabbeinu in a parsha that deals with Mishkan-related issues. Something that we've been missing for the majority of Jewish history. That makom hashra'a sashkin. That place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be mashra shkinasa. When reading this whole series of parshios at the end of Sefer Shmos, the series of parshios for which the Ramban says Sefer Shmos earned the title Sefer HaGu'ula. It's not because we left Mitzrayim, says the Ramban. That's not Gu'ula. Gu'ula is Mishkan. It's Mikdash. It's having Hashra'as HaShechina. So we read these parshios, we struggle. What do we do when it's not here? How do we find the Kodesh Baruch Hu when there's no Mishkan or Beis HaMikdash? So the Torah draws our attention to the answer with the omission of Moshe Rabbeinu. Just as Moshe Rabbeinu is omitted, not on account of his absence, because he's not in third person, he's in second person, he's even closer than he's ever been. So too, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina cannot be found, it's likely that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is closer to us than he's ever been. We just need to open up our eyes a little bit. We need to find him, we need to appreciate him. And this yesod, is applicable in so many different areas of life. You know, when you're in yeshiva, yeah, so yeshiva is a presence in your life. When you're out of yeshiva, the way you behave is a greater demonstration of the fact that you are a ben yeshiva than anything you could ever do in yeshiva. It becomes that much more important of a presence. That when something is missing, it is most present. I think that's the nekuda of Hamakom, that's the nekuda of Lashon HaBavi Yerushalayim, and that's the nekuda of Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Tetzaveh.